Hi, I'm Leah LaChapelle, author of Unzipping Reality, 11 Steps to Create the World We Want, and host of Unzipping Reality, The Fourth Awakening. I am dedicated to the transforming of human consciousness on planet Earth in our lifetime. So trust, know, be, and do the process as we unzip reality.
Welcome, everyone. This is Unzipping Reality, The Fourth Awakening. I'm your host, Leah LaChapelle, and it is a joy to be with you. This is my premier show here on Metaphysical Talk Radio, and that is metaphysicaltalkradio.com. And I'd really like to extend a hearty thank you to Gary and Inger Purifori, the executive producers for Metaphysical Talk Radio, MTR. So, us love us, everyone. That is my signature greeting. If this is your first time to join me, my website is fearorlove.com, and that is my commitment to be in that love. We've trafficked through the fear for many, many years now, and now, lo and behold, the love is opening, and there are many people that want to be in this conversation. So that is my dedication. I've been doing this broadcast for, on and off since 2007, and this is 2017. So a good long time. In fact, this is March the 5th, 2017. And just to prime the pump here, this is another way I like to ease into the rhythm of the broadcast. And that is to say that reality is now sufficiently unzipped. The portal is open. No more closed portals. It's wide open. So let's just step on through and be who and what we really are. And joining me today is a big surprise. Every year I offer an award, and I call it the Unzipper of the Year Award. And this award is not about an ego trip. This is not like, you know, the Golden Globe or Emmys or anything like this. This has to do with authenticity. And this has to do with a being's character and their integrity that they display and their commitment to causing a new paradigm. Also, for me, humility is a major factor for any unzipper of the year. And so it's my way of saying thank you to a particular being who over the course of a year has blessed me both personally and professionally. So let me just run through, before I bring up our 2016 Unzipper of the Year, let me just run through some of the other Unzippers of the Year that I have bestowed this award upon. In 2012, when I first started handing out this award, it was George Kavassalis, the author of Our Universal Journey. And George is the only one that I haven't met personally because he does live in Australia. So I have not seen him personally, but I have done a couple of interviews with him, and it was fabulous. In 2013, it was Simran Singh. Beautiful, beautiful metaphysical being, the author of Conversations with the Universe. 2014 was Tobias Lars, what a hoot, the author of Awakening Souls and We're Not Listening to the Sun. A wonderful, close personal friend of mine. In 2015, Nasho Dobris. What a spectacular young man. He has done work with new paradigm, multidimensional transformation. And all of these aforementioned, other than George, have been in my home, have impacted my life, in some cases rocked my world. And so to bring up the 2016 Unzipper of the Year, I am offering this award to my friend, Stephen Z. Stephen Z is the host administrator to many things, mainly Wave 1111. And this goes under different platforms, but 1111.com. He's all about the wave. And he prefers to not be known out on the internet. He is a worker under the radar, so to speak. You won't see his picture pasted all over the place. You won't see slick marketing. He's not selling anything particularly. What he is doing is he is raising conscious awareness like nobody I know. There are others, but Stephen has impacted me in a particular way that will unfold here in a minute. He is also the administrator for You Are Your Own Guru out on Facebook, and a delightful Facebook page called Spiritual Shit, lest we take ourselves too seriously. He's pretty balanced about that kind of thing. And then a superb blog that is entitled Not a Person or a Citizen. And so we're really getting into some of the work of Stephen Z. Again, he prefers for his last name to remain anonymous. It's just part of who he is. He's a great networker. He doesn't have any excuses. He doesn't give out excuses. He's not that kind of a metaphysician. He's not going to let us off the hook, folks. He is consistent in his commitment to actually step on people's toes. It's what he does to help people grow. And he's stepped on mine plenty of times. And it's always lovingly and with great care. But he will do it because, let's face it, it needs to be done. So he has been supporting me in my walk and in my work, both professionally and personally, for years. And recently, he did make it all the way down to Austin, Texas, where I'm broadcasting out of, all the way from Wisconsin. And we had a wonderful time. Wah and I got to meet him face-to-face after knowing him for many years out on the internet and by way of phone and Skype. So that is it. He's a true gift, even though most people will not recognize his name. Not to worry. He is known in the greatest of halls through the dimensions. So, Stephen Z., thank you, my friend, and welcome. Thank you for being the Unzipper of the Year.
Well, thank you for that intro. I'm honored and blessed to know you, and I think you should tell the folks who WA is, because this is your first time.
Oh, thank you. There he goes, correcting me. WA is short for Wayne. Wayne LaChapelle is my prime. That's the one I've given my heart to. And WA and I have been married for almost 10 years. And yeah, so WA is short for Wayne. That's kind of his metaphysical name. So, all right, Stephen Wave. Wow, this is so much fun. Welcome to Metaphysical Talk Radio. I'm so delighted to be able to be on this show.
This is a great intro, and especially since you and I did radio back in, what was that, 2008?
Yeah.
We did a show together every Wednesday, and that was a lot of fun. That's how I met you, is I reached out to you and said, hey, here's this gal that has this dynamic website, fearlove.com. I'm going to pick up the phone and call you.
Yeah, that was amazing. That is just so wonderful. You just have this ability to cut through. And thank you so much. I suppose that you are accepting this award. I'm not giving you a lot of choice, but you did kind of fuss at me for doing something that was kind of third dimensional. Oh, Leah, that's so third dimensional, handing out awards. This is just about me. That's what this award is about. It's about me and the blessing that has flowed into me, and I'm just allowing it to overflow my banks. So don't fuss at me anymore.
No. I get it. And you know, when you were talking about stepping on your toes lovingly, I'm reminded of that quote. I'm going to read it because this is so important for people to and I'm going to butcher this guy's name, but it's, don't get rid of the button pusher, get rid of the buttons. Yogi Amrit Desai, I think is how you pronounce it.
Oh my goodness. Say one more time who it was.
It's Amrit, A-M-R-I-T, uh-huh. And then his last name is D-E-S-A-I. It's Yogi Amrit Desai.
That is so good. Yeah. Well, once we get rid of all the buttons, I guess we'll be out of a job. We won't have anything to talk about. It'll just be boring. No, that's not true. We are creating a new paradigm. And so the reason that Stephen is in this litany of people that have impacted my life is because he is willing to go behind the curtain, and he is very, very thorough and very investigative. He studied the law and also the legal system, and so we know, Stephen, that those two things are not the same, are they?
No, I'm glad you just pointed that out. Yeah, because law is so different than legal. Legal is all the fictional world. And law is all the substance world. So it's often referred to as legal as form, because it only appears on paper. And law is like natural law, universal law. That's substance. That's the man and the woman and the beings.
I see.
Substance.
Yeah. Well, you have helped me in my own walk in trying to sort these things out, because it's really sticky here in this world system. You know, we're very much in captivity here, and we keep wanting to resist it. We keep wanting to get out of it, and it keeps sticking to us. And so you're always available to help people to distinguish between what is real, aka the law, and what is, as you just said, the fiction, the artificial, the contrivance, the world system. And I've called you many times shaking in my boots because I was so nervous because I didn't know how to handle something, and it seemed like a David and Goliath thing, and I was sure that the Goliath was bigger and smarter than I was, and I didn't have a chance. But that's not necessarily the case.
No. And that's how they being the controllers, those who are trying to, another word for that I like to use is, instead of controllers, they're the catalyst. They're the ones that are showing us the way back from, they've got to use the fear. It's kind of like, I love that movie V for Vendetta, because once she got rid of all that fear,
yeah,
she could see clearer, and she knew that she could not be taken to that level again. Because
yeah,
it's a vibration.
It is. In case people haven't seen that movie, it's a masterpiece. It's a Wachowski movie, V for Vendetta, and there's a scene in there, a segment where the main heroine, Evie, is taken down to the nub. She is taken through every horrific, fearful thing imaginable, and then she finally releases it, and she can't be scared anymore. And that's what Stephen is referring to. And it's like being born again when you come out of that fear. So yeah, that's a really good analogy.
And when you try to look at the way that this whole vibration is working, I've identified there's five really key words that I'd like to share. And we spoke earlier about what we were going to talk about today because we only have an hour. But I'm just going to throw these words out there, and then we'll come back to the core topic, what we were going to talk
about.
Abandonment, attachment, contract, consent, and intent. We've abandoned who we truly are. We are attached to things and ideas and perceptions and beliefs. Everything's done by contract that we've given our consent to, and it's all by our intent on how we can either walk through it or walk away from it.
Stephen, this is brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, so let's go through it again. We have abandoned who we really are. We've imagined that we're these disempowered creatures. We're not disempowered creatures. We are magnificent, multidimensional being. This is what you're pointing to, right?
Yep. And then attachment.
Okay. And what have we attached to? Or what is attached to us?
Well, we've attached to the presumption, and this is there's a term, presumption of joinder. People think they're the name, and the name that's on that piece of paper is not you. You're known as many things. Like, look at, you said Wayne is Wah, and then he's a significant other. He's a prime. He's a dad.
Yes.
He's a a husband. He's, you know, you can give all these different titles to people. But as you identified earlier, I am that I am. Who are you? I am that I am. I'm a spiritual being.
So the presumption of joinder. That is incredible. I'm learning a lot here. That's amazing. Okay, so, and I want to come back to that too. Okay, so the next one
was contract. And, you know, there's so many contracts. People don't think of the contracts that we're involved in every day. There's verbal contracts, you know, oral contracts. Then there's written contracts. But every contract is significant. You know, who your life partner is going to be. On and on. That's all law stuff. But we contract every day. You and I contracted to be on this show at this certain time.
Right.
You contracted to be on the network. You contract all the time, and you don't. It's just something that we do naturally.
Well, the thing that comes to my mind is, you know, when you sign on to something on the internet and all this long contractual verbiage comes up, and at the bottom it says, I agree, or whatever. I mean, no one reads that stuff. No one reads that. It's like, oh, whatever. And
a good example of that are all the apps on your phone.
Yes.
I have hardly any app on my phone because there's so many of them are highly intrusive. I mean, if you take a look at what they say, we're now going to have access to your contacts, your address book, your phone, your mic.
Right.
What do you need access to my mic for?
Yeah.
What do you need access to my contacts and my address book and my camera? Now, some of them make sense. It's that they have to have access to your camera for certain applications, but they don't need to have access to your contacts.
No, because you follow that to its logical conclusion, and it dwarfs Big Brother.
Right. It's highly intrusive. So that's contract. The next thing is consent. I was just talking about.
So how does consent tie into contract? I mean, if you sign a contract or give a verbal contract, then what is there to be said about consent?
Well, it's either you're giving your consent or you're withdrawing your consent. You don't have to sign that contract. There's multitude of other ways to handle your affairs. It's we were talking about the app.
But Stephen, all of us signed the contract, okay? We all took the blue pill, you know?
That's another movie.
We are in blue pill land. And so we all signed the contract because we were ignorant. And that's, I'm not talking down. We just did not have the knowledge to not sign the contract. And in many cases, our parents signed the contract for us. And now here we are in the system. We've got Social Security numbers. We've got driver licenses. We've got all this stuff because we signed the contract because we didn't want to be minimized in life. And frankly, we were lied to because now we're back up to the first one. We abandoned who we really are. Well, we didn't know who we really were, and now we're just now finding out. So now we've got all these dang contracts. So what's the deal with consent? Talk to us about withdrawing consent.
That's our most powerful. That's our most powerful consent, and withdrawing consent are our most powerful mode of operating because. You know, here I use operating as a commercial term.
Yes, but navigating.
Navigating. There.
Oh, now that's kind of a nautical term.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Our language hangs us up.
That's why it's very important that those listening, I love to go to the root of words, and it's the etymology of the word.
Yes.
Very important. So. You can choose. It's all choice. You know, life, fear, love, it's all choice. You can either consent or you can withdraw your consent. I mean, that's that one movie was narrated by Woody Harrelson was called Ethos, ETHOS. And it's a documentary that talks about voting with your wallet. If you don't like a restaurant, what do? You don't go to it.
Exactly.
That's voting with your wallet. Eventually, what will happen if enough people choose to vote with their wallet, that what happens to that restaurant? It goes out of business. Same thing applies to, you know, you're talking about driver's license. Well, guess there's a story I shared. This happened in the 70s where the truckers, Gary will relate to this, the truckers said they wanted everyone to license the CB radios. The truckers said, we're not paying for no stinking license for our radios to just talk and communicate. So they all bonded together and said no. Well, guess what? They couldn't do anything to them because nobody consented.
Well, they weren't in fear, apparently. It's
no.
The fear that prevents us from withdrawing our consent.
Exactly.
And history shows us over and over again, if you stand up to the controlling faction, then you could be putting yourself in danger. And so people are afraid because now all of a sudden the controllers have all the firepower. You know, they've got the tasers and the what have you. So this is where we get into more of the subtle energy. And this is what I appreciate so much about the message that you bring, Stephen, because it's daily you're out there on your Facebook pages. You are your own guru and these others that are educating people. This is the subtle energy. And you know how they used to say, I think they still say it, that the pen is mightier than the sword. Well, that's still true for me. And so I just, again, appreciate the work that you are doing to educate us on consent and what we can do to withdraw consent. So what about the last one, the intent?
Well, before we go, I just wanted to point, there's a gentleman, Frenchman, back in the 1500s who wrote a book called The Politics of Obedience, The Discourse of Voluntary Servitude. So here we go, nearly 500 years ago, this guy was talking about withdrawing consent. It's been around a long time.
Give us the name of that book again. It's kind of a long title.
Sure. The Politics of Obedience, The Discourse of Voluntary Servitude. You can find it online. It's a free book. I know Mises has the whole copy of it, Mises.org. But just type in The Politics of Obedience and it'll come up.
Okay,
but it's a great book.
So it's Mises?
Mises.org. They have the entire book.
Wow. Okay.
Right there.
Okay.
And you literally, you could read the summary and you don't even have to read the book. I know people read a whole book. Well, read the summary, and you pretty much got all the main focal points of...
Do they have this in a 10-minute YouTube, Stephen?
I actually have a video out there called Withdraw Consent.
Oh, really? On YouTube?
Yep, on YouTube.
Very cool. Very cool.
And it's a tribute to what I just shared that book.
Yeah,
so going to intent, everything is your intent. You know, willfully and intentionally, that's what the law will say to you. You willfully and intentionally did this. Well, was it your intent or was it not? Did you intend to sign that contract? Were you coerced? Were you not given the full disclosure? In many cases, you weren't. So that's our recourse. That's our remedy. But then you have to take the action. You have to say, you know, that was not my intent. My intent was not to be in commerce when I'm traveling down the road.
Yes. You know what this reminds me? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not a driver. I'm a traveler. People, you know, oh boy, he's one of those. But no, it's the words.
It's real. Yes. That's how they hook us into the matrix is with language. And so in our expanding of our hearts, we are learning how to unhook from the matrix. We're not angry. We're not bitter. We're not judgmental. If that were the case, if you were like that, you would not be on this Unzipping Reality show.
Thank you.
And so that is the key. What is happening, I believe, is that there is a melding of the natural world with the spiritual world. And so we have been kind of held hostage in the natural world against our will, really, because we were not informed. And so now we're gaining the information thanks to people like you. And another thing I wanted to just mention is what this reminds me of, what you are suggesting that we take on in life, it's called responsibility.
Yeah.
Self-responsibility. It reminds me of the distinction between going to an allopathic doctor, which uses all of the pharmaceuticals and the cutting and burning and all of those things. And sometimes that's necessary. Come on, I understand that. Or wouldn't you like to be on the path of self-healing and take responsibility for your own well-being, your own maintaining of your body, and your own alignment? You know, holistically, your whole person, your whole being. I almost said person, being. And so it kind of reminds me of that, because that's your invitation. It's like, Leah, you've got to get out there and you've got to take this on.
Well, the question I raised before about the topic that we could discuss, and that it's, how do you broach this topic with people that are friends and family? I don't recommend doing it at work, because that you're treading on situations that could be quite delicate. And do it after work, if you're talking to those people after work, then it's not in the work environment. But how best to handle this conversation with friends and family? And then, you know, that's one of the most important things for us to realize, is that it's not that you don't care, it's that you should not be concerned. There's a difference of what people think of you if you think out of the box, if you're a critical thinker. Because one man or woman can get it, and someone is completely in the box, and they don't want to hear, see, or research further. There's nothing that you are going to say or do that's going to change their perception.
I agree.
And you might as well just move along, love them, and recognize that that is not something that you're... When and if they ever become ready, you might not even be in their life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important thing to realize, that their realization might hit 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Well, we're in everyone's life for a reason. It's either for a lesson, a blessing, or challenge. I think that's, there could be many others, but I mean, I think that's it. You're
those
in there.
Are pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. A lesson, a challenge, or a blessing.
And so if you're going to be a challenge to people, you can still do it without being rude, obnoxious, or being completely attached to being right. This is what turns people off, is when you're more attached to being right and driving your point home than you are their well-being to be concerned about. It makes you unloving in their eyes when your attachments are just simply to be right and crow about it. I see this all the time. I see this in the metaphysical world, and it's quite ineffective. So I would say if we want to be effective and we encounter someone who is just kind of behind the curve and they don't understand how this world system is set up yet, be the most loving being you can be when you are around them. And then you will have entry to be able to share some of these other facts, and they'll be able to receive it from you.
And you, and let me just say this. That doesn't mean that I was called a jerk today. It actually was called a little bit different than that, but I'm going to keep it clean for radio.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm not surprised. Yeah.
No. I mean, and the that's why I thought this was a good subject for today, because, you know, I do push buttons and make people uncomfortable, and the response I got was, why would you think that I'd be uncomfortable with this? You know, I really do like talking about these subjects, and I said, well, then if you do, you'd understand that there's all these different beliefs and perceptions. And I said, you have a perception of this? And they go, no, you have to do more research. And so it got back to a tug and war of who has done the most research. And it gets away, if you get into a dialogue like that, it gets away from the core of usually one or two questions that commonsensically could answer the question, but the one who doesn't want to see it is going to stand firm. They're going to stand firm and then say, because it's, and I don't even want to get into, I'm going to keep this general, but if there's one thing that does a crushing blow to a belief system, and it will make everything crumble underneath it. It's just like, playing that one game where you pull the can't think of the name right now, where you pull the blocks out.
Jenga.
And then all of a sudden, it all comes crushing down. Well,
right.
Yeah, that's the game. You pull that block out, everything above is done.
Well, yes, and I'm so glad that you're pointing that out, because on a worldwide scale, you know, human beings are, you know, we get embarrassed and humiliated, and we deal with a lot of shame that we came here to experience. And none of us wants to admit that we've been scammed in this life, that we're actually these very high beings, but we're here playing so small and we're all in this prison. You know, nobody wants to admit that. It's embarrassing. It's like, oh dear. And so we keep all of the charade alive, and we work very hard at mastering the minimization of our lives. But right now, we are expanding so far beyond that, and we're finding others who are willing to expand and also to remain loving. I mean, that's the only way we're going to transcend this power grab here, is to stop resisting and to embrace what is.
And it's an important thing, because there's a lot of people right now in America, especially, that, you know, the resistance and the, you know, not my president, all this stuff. And I'm not trying to go down any political path here, but think of the mantra, that which you resist persists. If you would have withdrawn your consent So the game, the political divide and conquer game, then guess what? You wouldn't even have to have a posture of one way or another. You'd already recognize that the whole thing is a distraction used to keep people divided and not in unity. That's the entire agenda of the political game.
Exactly. Didn't you just put something out on one of your pages? Was it on the Wave page? What was
No, I'm not a person or citizen. The Twitter.
Oh, it was on Twitter. Okay.
Yeah, it was the elephant and the donkey pointing at each other, and they called it the blame game, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah,
they blame each other constantly, and the whole thing is a it's a blame game, distractions for the entire purpose is the political agenda of divide and conquer.
Absolutely. But somehow, because of people like you doing the research and peeling back the layers, we're able now to have enough information so that we can begin to look up and that we can begin to find one another. And I understand about, you know, that whole political landscape of our president and the pro and anti. But, you know, it's just observation. I don't get involved in that conversation. And it's not that I'm too good for it at all. It's just that it's not taking me where I choose to be. And so
I dabble in a lot of arenas just for fun.
Yeah, you do. I mean, here we go. You love to provoke people, but in a good way, in a precocious way, because you're not going to let them to just languish in their ignorance. You're going to, you know, find some way to offer them something that they hadn't known before. And it's so terrific. I want to get into another avenue here, and this is my heart. I'm so grateful to you, Stephen, for turning me on to a particular realm. And you're, again, a great networker, and you're so good at putting out information that opened people's eyes. And this information opened my eyes to the point where I even hosted an event around it. And that was the information put out by Kenneth Scott Cousins, the Real Eyes Conference that was called Anarchapulco. This series of messages opened my eyes to what is real as a human being. Do you remember when you offered that to me?
Oh yeah, I remember. It was excellent.
It really, really rocked my world because it has to do with asking the right questions. It's not asking, well, how can I pay all these bills? You know, it's asking a different question. It's asking, who am I? And so that meant so much to me that you turned me on to that. And that's what you do. You find these wonderful discussions and avenues of teaching, and you share them. And so that particular teaching has, I mean, I experienced a gigantic shift because it's all about our standing, who we are as human beings. It's about our status as a human being. You know, are you just a peasant? Or are you royalty? Or what are you, you know? And we tend to just agree with whatever they tell us that we are. So this is so important, the status and the standing. And also the capacity.
Exactly. And that it's entitled Seen with Real Eyes, The World You're Bound To. And it's Kenneth Scott Cousins. And it was a 5-part series on YouTube.
Yes, and it was a live conference that was given. They called it Anarchapulco, the conference.
Right.
And seeing with real eyes, and this guy impressed me because once again he wasn't just spouting information. He was not arrogant. He wasn't controlling. He was humble. This is something that he has spent a lifetime researching, and he offered it to people. And whether they take it or not, that's up to them. And so I really like that approach. And, I mean, I can't vouch for everything that he's about, but I'm so grateful to you, Stephen, for entrusting me with that information, because it landed in a very fertile way, and I've been able to share it with a lot of people.
Well, that's the whole intent that he had, was to at least have people look at things from a different set of eyes. I mean, that's really what the message was, is that, and that's what really any presentation is. You know, you've got to be willing to look at the point and counterpoint and then make your own decision. And then don't call that truth, that you just made this decision, because how many times have we later said, oh, you know, I've got more information and I don't agree with that now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I've reinvented myself many times in this one lifetime. And so my beliefs have changed. So now I appreciate what you're saying. If people think that they have the whole truth, I'm sorry, that's just not even possible in this plane of consciousness.
The word believe or belief has the word lie in it.
Just it does.
Just like the word anomaly has the last anomalies. If you find too many anomalies, the last letters are lies.
Yes. Well, I've been thinking, okay, belief has that lie in the middle of it. And so I've been playing around with interchanging it with embrace. So it's not so much that I believe something, it's that I embrace it. At least for the moment, you know, I'm embracing.
And it's a powerful way to be, because if you can embrace it, you can also release it. You can embrace it again, you can release
right.
it. You know,
that's
it's
right.
not it's not a lock grip.
That's exactly right. Something else that I wanted to get into, I don't know if we have time or not, but you wrote this blog, and it is called Not a Person or Citizen. Why would you write such a thing? What are you saying we're not a person or a citizen?
Well, we were talking about words, how they're so vitally important how we identify ourselves, and the word person is actually a legal entity. It's a person comes from mask, persona. If you look at the meaning of the word, at the very end of the definition, it says, or any other legal entity. So they try to confuse people to say, well, you're an individual, but the real core of the word is that you're a legal entity. And the word citizen is another controlling word that's used to keep people in servitude. There's actually, on the blog itself, I have an article that went viral that was the five words used to control and enslave you. And that those are two of the words.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is cool, because we opened the show talking more about, you know, those other five words: abandonment, attachment, contract, consent, and intent. So you're telling me that these are five more words?
Five more words, yep. I don't know how it ends up being five, but the five are person, citizen, resident, driver, and passenger. And let the people go to the blog and find out the real true reason why those five words are used for control. They're used for control. It's because if they get you to consent to being those terms, then they can control.
I see. Okay. Okay. So you said that a person is a legal entity. I'm not even sure I know what a legal entity is. Is that something that is spawned out of control legal system? What is that?
Well, it's used. Corporations can only do business with other corporations, so they needed a like entity. It's the maxim of like kind. So you can't do business with the bank. You can do business with people at the bank. You can't go to Target and do business with, you can't shake Target's hand. So they needed a like entity. So that's why they created these attorneys of the world, created this like entity system. This is a duality world. So there's an article I also put up there, lawful versus legal. And that's, we talked about that a little bit in the beginning, how different that is. Everyone thinks that they're a debtor in this, indentured servitude, when we're actually the creditors. All of the money flow, what you think of as money, comes from, like you said before, the power of the pen. The pen is mightier than a sword. We're the ones that create the credit. We're the creditors. We're actually the private bankers. They don't want us to recognize how powerful we are.
Well, we're starting to. We're starting to recognize that we're not just legal entities, and that we're not citizens that can be just ordered around without our consent. We're starting to get that. Well, say something else about the resident. What, I mean, everybody thinks of themselves as a resident, right? You get it in the mail. It says it right there on the envelope, resident. And then it's got address.
Res comes from a thing, and then ident. So you're really saying you're a thing identified.
Oh, interesting. So you're not a human being. You're a thing.
And, you know, you really don't even want to go look up human in Black's Law. It means, it says monster.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's a whole other conversation about the word. The better thing would be to say that you're a living being rather than a human. This people say, oh, that's just semantics. No, I was just going to say words are used to keep people in servitude and disempowered.
Absolutely.
Not used correctly.
Absolutely. Well, that's fascinating about Black's Law Dictionary, about a human is a monster. They're really not far off on that, because because I've unzipped some reality in my day, and I realize that human beings very much are hybrids. We are hybrid beings, and we are a combination of some upper dimensional beings that have a vested interest in what goes on this planet, and the indigenous beings that were more like the Yeti. And so they combined these two forms, and they came up with humans. So some people might look at a human and see it as a monster, because it's something that was intended and brought together, and maybe it was a monstrous act that caused us to come into this more of a slave race, because that was the whole motivation, was to cause human beings to be in servitude, like you're saying. But now we are learning to get in touch with our true alignment, which is not that which caused us to be the hybrid, but it's that which is the maker of all. And we are finding our alignment, and we are becoming alive. We're becoming conscious. And so this is very exciting. So I think that we can still be humans. This is just me talking, Stephen, but I think that we can be transformed monsters. Okay.
Transformed monsters.
Monsters. That's exactly right. And that's what we are. And now we're on our path of transmutation. We're transmuting the lower vibrations that have held us here so heavily, and so now we're ascending, as it were.
And that's a powerful word, that the transformation in metaphysics talk about the nature of reality. I mean, that's really what we're all trying to figure out, the philosophical ramifications of why. And the words play such an important part of it, because that their energy, and they carry so much weight, because that's how we communicate.
Yes. And so, yeah, I am very, very careful, you know, for the most part, of the words that I'm choosing to use. And in fact, you helped me form one of those, I don't know, it's a graphic that had the words on it that I was upgrading.
Exactly.
Remember when you helped me do that? That was so cool, because you're really good at that kind of thing. And one of the words that I do not use anymore is battle. No more battle. There's no more fighting. And so I just don't use that word anymore. Now, I might use it in terms of reflecting in the past, you know, the some battle that happened in the 1800s or something. But anymore, I don't do battle. If I were to be called into court or something like this, I it would not be a battle for me. And so the word that I was choosing to upgrade was engagement. Now I engage the whatever it is, the monster that's in front of me. I engage them, but I don't do battle with them.
Well, it's just like the word fight. That's a denotes a negative connotation. I mean,
it does.
Fight.
Yeah, and like you said, you quoted that famous quote, what you resist persists. And
yep.
And so if you're going to fight something, then that's not going to deliver you out of your situation. It's just going to cause more. Violence begets violence. We're just now learning this, but people love to fight. Have you noticed? We think that fighting is empowering, because we get the adrenaline surge and it makes us feel like, yeah. And the horse you rode in on, you know, like that. And we feel powerful for a moment because it stirs our anger and our emotions. But actually, then we just dip back down. So it's not empowering. My friend Nasho says there's no fight in the light. There's no fight in the light. I'm not going to fight you, my brother, my sister. I'm not going to fight you. And so when I'm engaging someone and they want to fight me, they're just not going to be able to. They're really not. I mean, the drama that ensues when you're fighting, oh my gosh, it's horrendous. And the drama is just a downward spiral. I know that when I go into drama, this is not a good thing for Leah LaChapelle. And it still does happen occasionally. And I always have to clean that up if I go into any sort of a drama, because it's a low vibration.
It's always going to be a part of this dimension, because that's the one thing that we have to realize, is that we're all in a constant learning and growing mode. So, I mean, no one can say, oh, I don't have any drama in my life. It's like, well, and you're dead.
That's exactly right. That's why I have to, hey, full disclosure, everybody, Leah is quite imperfect. And so, you know, my teaching is because I've done it wrong, you know, and am continuing to scrape my knees as I fall down. And so that goes without saying.
We don't have much time left, but I'll just say that, you know, a cult means hidden. And don't be afraid to go into the hidden world of discovering words.
So we've got permission to go into the occult realms, not for imposing our will on others. That would be black magic. So we're not talking about that, just to be clear. But the occult realms, are not off limits to us. They've created the fear buffer around the occult, so we wouldn't look behind the curtain.
Exactly.
No more fear. And I just want to invite everybody to go to fearorlove.com. And many of the things on fearorlove.com are there because of my association with Stephen Z. And this is why I have offered this award to him as the 2016 Unzipper of the Year. And Stephen, thank you for graciously receiving your reward.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you for all that you do and for all that this station does in bringing light to the dark.
Definitely, definitely. Just so people know, I sent Stephen a little package, and what it was a thermometer, a digital readout thermometer that you can set up inside, and then it reaches outside, so you can know what the temperature is without ever going outside. I don't know what they call those, but anyway, Wah bought it, and it just gave me a lot of joy to send that to you, Stephen.
Again, my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, everyone, I believe that is a wrap for Unzipping Reality. I would like to invite all of you to fearorlove.com. That's my website. I am an awakening coach, and I can do the coaching by phone or Skype or in person here in Austin, Texas. So, Stephen, any last parting words?
We covered a lot. I just want to, again, thank you for everything that you do, and dig deeper. I guess that's it. I'll say dig deeper. Always dig deeper and challenge everything.
Well, all right then. It's time for signing off. As usual, oneness happens. It's the great letting go and letting in with allowance and balance. So trust the process. Know the process. Be the process and do the process as we unzip reality. Bye-bye, everyone.